The Old Testament scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown and for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. The New Testament reading is Matthew 28, 1 to 15. Matthew 28, 1 to 15. After Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you guys ever had an experience where somebody is talking about Christianity or resurrection or life after death or something, and you've had kind of this look of suspicion, even anger towards the idea? Yeah? I have. I had one of my relatives one time. We were sitting there having a cup of coffee around a campfire, and he looked at me and he said, "So how's that zombie you worship?" Well, that's one way of looking at it, I suppose. But there's no doubt that what we're talking about today has a different response from different people. Some people, when they hear the story about the resurrection, they either mock it or they dismiss it, or they're actually angry, which I always find funny. There was one lady I want to share with you. She came out of the 16th century. She was very, very wealthy. Her name was Lady Anne Grimsey. Have you heard of Lady Anne? Nobody's heard of Lady Anne? You probably wouldn't. But she's famous for one thing. She spent a lot of her money. And Miss Lady Anne Grimsey, she said she had no interest in Christianity. She lived her life for herself for as long as she could. She was going to be a person of this world. This idea that we could come back, or that there's somebody who came back from the grave, was foolishness. In fact, it got to the point where she was actually quoted saying, "I shall not continue to live. It is unlikely that I shall continue to live, as that a tree will grow out of my body." A famous quote. People don't like the idea of the resurrection. They seem to be okay with the idea of somebody going off into the spirit world when they die. You've all heard things like they're off to a better place. But what resurrection means, and she understood it, is that the body will come back renewed and restored in a new way. That's what resurrection means. The word in Greek means anastasis. Can mean no other thing. So the question is, why do people get so angry about it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and the fact that you have come back. We pray in Jesus' name that you will open our eyes and our ears so that we can hear the good news that some people see as bad. In Jesus' name. Amen. We read Matthew's gospel today, and Matthew's gospel kind of nails on the head what the problem is with resurrection. It changes the world. The scene, as you know, is outside in the tomb. There are Roman guards guarding the tomb, we're informed. And there's Mary and Martha standing outside there. And they're coming in to do the last bits for the body. And it was after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, was dawning, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb and listened to what happens. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled the stone they sat on and sat on it. These stones, apparently, you couldn't move with 10 men. And this angel moves it. There's an earthquake. It is shaking the world, this event. It goes on to say that this angel's appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. Ironically, they were to guard a dead man, weren't they? But the dead man's alive. And now this is to change the world. The ones with the power and the life have now become the dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." Raised. That's a huge word. He's no longer in the tomb. It's not that he left by spirit to heaven. His body is no longer in the tomb. That's a significant, significant claim. As he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." Well, he takes these two women, and already we can see why the world's shaking. Women in the ancient world were not well valued. In fact, there was legal precedent that you couldn't have a woman stand up in court because they could not bear reliable testimony because they were too emotional. I don't believe that. That was an ancient thing. No, don't look at me. I think that's awful. And yet it is these people who are so looked down upon culturally that they are not even considered worthy of having this a soul. The Pharisees used to say a prayer every morning. Thank God you didn't make me a Gentile. Thank God you didn't make me a woman. That was the world these people came out of. And who are the first people that get told to proclaim except two women? Then go quickly and tell his disciples. They're the first apostles. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So these nobodies left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples, these faithful women. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings, and they came to him, took hold of his feet. He has feet. He's not a spirit. That's really, really important. He's a physical being. They grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to him, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is an incredible moment that if I was writing the Gospels, I wouldn't write them like this. I would have very significant, powerful religious men that everyone trusted to be the first people to go share this. Jesus has these people go off and bear witness to his resurrection to a bunch of people who had abandoned Jesus. The world's being turned upside down. And the powers know it. See, this is the other part where we talk about people not liking. This next section is about people not liking the resurrection. While they were going, some of the guard went into that city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, you must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and thus began the lie, and did as they were directed. And this story is still told amongst the Jews to this day. In other words, that story was still happening the 70 years after when Matthew's writing this gospel. And the reason they had to lie and make this up is resurrection is a really problematic idea if you're someone who loves power in this world. If you like to have your life for yourself, all by yourself, and do whatever you want, resurrection's not for you. It's better to have a zombie. Because I tell you, friends, when it says he is risen, the whole world changed. The whole dynamic changed. We are happy to say someone dies and goes to heaven in a spirit form, but that's not what this says. This says this man who had died had risen again in his human body, resurrected. We're happy to do anything as long as it doesn't affect us now. But the resurrection says the world has changed. It has changed, folks. Because if that means, if it's true that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead, it says something profound. It says he cares about this world. If death is not just flying off somewhere else, then it means he cares what happens now. And he cares about the people on this earth. He cares about the weak and the broken. He cares about people. And that's why this was such an impactful thing. And this is what people can't stand. Karl Barth said the resurrection of Jesus was like a boulder crashing into the pool of history. Not a great saying? When it came in, it said humanity matters. When his body came out, it said yes to humanity. We live in a world that's whatever, being human, who cares? I'll be whatever human I want to be. But Jesus said, no, humanity matters. Have you ever been to a funeral where someone dies and they say, oh, they're in a better place? Ever been there? I remember when Diana died. Oh, she's up a star in the heavens, they said. Well, what Jesus says is, no, I don't want you to go be a star in heaven. I don't even want you going to a better place. I want to renew you physically. And I'm going to start with me. And this is why resurrection is such a powerful concept. And it's changed the world. And it brought down Rome. And it keeps bringing down empires. You want to know why people blow up churches in Sri Lanka? Because this is a dangerous idea. Why in China right now are they banning Bibles again? If it was just a nice storybook about going somewhere when you die, they wouldn't care. But it's a book about how we treat people and how we live here and who we worship here, because here is going to last for eternity. N.T. Wright says, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do you think motivated Martin Luther King? Remember Martin Luther King? I watched a biography on him on HBO. Anybody see that one? I am MLK. You should see it. What motivates him is a belief that Jesus Christ died for this world and rose again, and it mattered what we did here. How we treated our neighbors. That's why that man died. And that's why people who have been following Jesus keep wanting to make things right on this earth, because it's not just about where we go when we die. And that's offensive to people, because people don't want you telling them that there's a different way or a better way. Tim Keller says the resurrection makes Christianity the most irritating religion on the face of the earth. Because when you believe the resurrection, when you really understand what the resurrection means, it means that you really matter. Because there's an empty tomb, humanity matters, that means you matter. It means you, what you do matters. How you treat people matters. It means that this world as you see it will be renewed and you will get resurrected bodies in the end. That matters. That's what Jews have always believed. It just took us Gentiles a few thousand years to figure it out. God wants to renew humanity, and he wants to do it. And when Jesus emptied that tomb, he says, this project is ready to go. And he's reaching out into our hearts to change us and to believe it. And yet people don't. Why don't they? Well, I've heard all kinds of silly things about resurrection. You may have seen them. You can watch a show on Jesus. By the way, stay away from those A&E shows. Jesus was really in love with Mary Magdalene and went off to France and got married and had six kids. What? I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard all, I heard one, this was my favorite. The apostles were all stoned when they were watching, and that's why they all saw Jesus. Because marijuana was constantly used in first century Second Temple Israel. Probably the most keen one is they lied. That the apostles lied. But let me ask you this question, and I think I'll let Peter Kreef handle it. Why would the apostles lie? Liars always lie for selfish reasons. If they lied, what was their motive? What did they get out of it? What they got out of it was misunderstanding, rejection, persecution, torture, and martyrdom. Hardly a list of perks. The truth is, it's more historical to believe in the resurrection than Caesar crossing the Rubicon. People say, oh, that's not true. Actually, it is. There's more testimony to the resurrection in the ancient world than Caesar crossing the Rubicon. It's one of the most documented things, so why are people so against it? Why do people doubt it so much? My favorite, Wolfgang Tannenberg. The evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it is an unusual event. And second, if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live. That's the truth. The reason people reject resurrection is because if it's true, it means this world is to be like Jesus. And it means we're to be like Jesus. And you know what? A lot of us want to be like what we want to be. So I was doing a funeral one time. A good friend of mine that I had been a Christian for about 18 months. I had the honor of, I think, baptizing him. And he got, what's that disease you get in the lungs when you're working with asbestos? Anyways. Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad death. And his wife had become a Christian. She was a radical. She was a fire plug. You ever meet those? And she said to me, Emery, I want you to go. There's going to be a bunch of skeptics at this funeral. I want you to go and nail them with the gospel, she said. And it was funny because she doesn't know me. I don't do that. So I wrestled with it. And she goes, no, Emery, you've got to go and nail them with the gospel. And I said, I can't do that. But I thought about it, and I thought, okay, well, what can I do that will satisfy her? So I decided to do something that would shock people, because I know how people think. People want to believe that what they think is the most important thing in the world. And there was Royce in his coffin, and it was about this big, this many people. And as I was preaching, I got up and I said, here, I got some good news for you guys. And they said, what's that? And I said, Royce is going to rise from the grave. And I could hear some sighs from the skeptics in the audience. And then I did something that really pushed their buttons. I actually said this, and the best news is, he's going to rise whether you guys believe it or not. I didn't make friends. But I told the truth. This has happened. This is going to happen, and you can't stop it no matter how off you are. Now, you remember Lady Grimsley. I shall not continue to live. It is as unlikely as I shall continue to live that as a tree will grow out of my body. Remember that? She was buried sometime in the early 17th century. By the mid-19th century, all of a sudden, the tomb she was in, and it was an ornate tomb, the lid started coming off. They put it down, they sealed it again, it kept coming off. They put it down, and then finally they popped up, and underneath was a tree growing out. A tree growing out in the middle of her tomb. You don't believe me? Well, you can still go there today. Look at the size of it now. I think what God said to Lady Grimsley is what he said on that day when he was resurrected. I won. The resurrection's going to happen, and you can mock it, but you can no more stop it than stop that tree. This is incredibly good news, folks. I'll tell you why it's good news, for a couple reasons. Number one, God will set everything right. All of the evils of this world has been put on notice because of that resurrection. And number two, and this is equally important, you get to live forever in a renewed world where you will spend your eternity celebrating, feasting, and loving one another. Now you say to me, what about today? What about the world today where things are happening like bombs in Sri Lanka? People getting murdered all over the place, the hatred. Well, I tell you something, this is now because of the resurrection. This is the thing that doesn't last. This is the illusion. This is the foolish thing to hold on to. The devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a while longer, but do not worry. The forces of evil are breaking their last. Not to worry, he is risen. He is risen. That day that stone rolled back, where the earth shook and the people of power fell like they were dead, was a comment to all of us that God wins. And now our invitation is to say yes to that. To live in that salvation. This is the greatest day of the church year because this is the day God won. And one day, he is going to return. He's going to renew all things. He's going to resurrect the dead. And guess what? The things we thought were the worst will not be the last. And the things that were painful will be dealt with and healed. I have some great news for you folks. He is risen. And because of that, you never have to stand by a graveside again and feel like you've lost something forever. Is that good news? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your love that crossed into this world. It's almost unbelievable. But that's what you did. We thank you that you loved humanity so much that you said yes to us. That through your Son, you carried that cross, and through your Son, you've conquered death. Help us to live now with this truth. You are the King, you are the resurrected one, and we must never fear death again. Help us to live like you lived. Help us to be different. So that on that day when you return, the trumpet sound, we will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy everything I have." In Jesus' name, amen.